So I'm just heading down by the slipway just next to the Esplanade. And one of the things that you'll see if you come here, because there's only two main buildings, one is the Burnham-on-Sea Search and Rescue, known as BARB. And Roger Flower is one of the people here, and he's going to take us on a little tour of what happens, because it's a really important part of life here, isn't it? Hiya, Roger. Thanks for joining us. You're actually perched on one of your hovercrafts. Tell us about it.
Yes. Well, this is the first hovercraft we had, and it's over 10 years old now. And it was bought as a result of a tragic circumstance at Barrow, which was when little Elena Hall was drowned. First day of a holiday, running out on the mud to try and find the sea, and she became stuck. And the tide was coming in fast. She wasn't able to be rescued because the adults, being heavier, were sinking, and sadly she drowned. And public reaction to that was, you know, this must never happen again in Burnham. So an appeal was launched, and the only way to get safely to someone stuck in the mud and quickly is with a hovercraft. It's the only thing which will do the job. We act as like a taxi service for the Coast Guard, who do all the rescuing with specialist equipment.
And so how does that work then?
Right. We are called out by the Coast Guard, Swansea Coast Guard, who, having identified a need for a rescue, will call us to liaise with their local unit here to go and rescue anybody who might be trapped in the mud.
Mm-hmm. And so how fast can you go out when you get the call on one of these?
We can be out in about 10 or 12 minutes from the time we get a call. It depending on where we launch is important. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if it's here in Burnham, we launch at the slipway and onto the sand. But we may have to travel to Breen or to Barrow. It just depends where the casualty is.
And who's part of the crew?
Well, they're obviously all local because they've got to be. All sorts of people from Burnham. Our operations manager is the local barber. We've got electricians and builders and all sorts of people, retired people as well. All on hand, 24/7.
As volunteers?
Then. As volunteers, yes. Nobody's paid anything.
Okay, so this is one of the hovercrafts. You have another one, a new one, new fancy one.
Yes, we've got a new one from Italy, which has just arrived, and we're trialling that at the moment. Hovercraft don't have brakes, and that sometimes is a bit difficult if you're trying to reach someone. But this one acts like a bit like a Harrier jump jet with nozzles, so that you're able to stop. And actually go backwards as well. So this one's much more manoeuvrable.
Just explain a bit about nozzles then. So when it comes to braking, how does this happen?
Well, on the back, instead of having just a fan to blow you along straight, it's got two nozzles at the back, two buckets, which can be turned to act as a brake to push the air forwards and you stop. Continue to hold the brakes down and it will start to go backwards. So it's very manoeuvrable.
Wow, and what's propelling it inside?
Well, there's just one engine in this new craft. Most hovercraft have two. One to raise them up on a cushion of air, that's mm-hmm. called the lift engine, and one to push them along, the thrust engine at the back with a large fan. This one just has one engine, which does both, and it's a 1000cc Yamaha racing motorbike engine. It's a very powerful thing.
Now, this is sounding quite fancy, so how fast could you go in that?
Well,
partly speed to get to someone is what it's about.
Yeah, it is, very, very much so. I suppose, you know, hard pushed on a flat surface, it would go about 50 miles an hour, but we never do that. It's probably 20, 30. We might be going to reach someone safely.
And no handbrake turns, because it's not that kind of thing.
No. With this older craft that I'm sitting on at the moment, yes, it's handbrake turns, basically.
Okay. Yeah. So how much does it cost then? How much is one of these?
A new craft will cost £50,000 to £60,000.
And where do you get the money from for that?
Totally from voluntary giving, and all of it locally. We're a private local charity. We get no help from government or anywhere else. We're just a private charity.
Okay, and are people very giving?
Very giving, yeah. We're very lucky with the money.
Tell us about some of the rescues that you've done then.
Yes, they tend mostly to be people who've got stuck in the mud by walking too far out. Mm-hmm. We do anything that the Coast Guard really ask us to do, but it will obviously not be in the water generally, because the lifeboats, we've got the RNLI here now who will do that. But anything on the land or perhaps across on Sturt Island, we have to go across the water. We can go across the water, but it's all to do with mud, really, that we're working for.
So can you just describe, actually, what you see when you look out over the wall of the Esplanade, what it is you see? Because not everyone will be familiar with the area, and there is a series of mud flaps and waters. What's it like?
Well, looking straight out across to Wales, you've got in front of you Sturt Island, which is a bird sanctuary, and sometimes people will swim across there and get into trouble, or a boat will get stuck over there, and we have to go over there. But most of our work is in the 6 miles from here at the mouth of the River Parrot, which goes into Bridgewater, to the left-hand side, and to the right round to Breen Down. So it's a 6 mile stretch of Bridgewater Bay that we look after.
And is there any particular time of year when it's more dangerous than any others? Or I guess it just varies with tides, and you get more people in the summer, so there's perhaps greater.
You get more people, but strangely enough, it doesn't always work like that. You know, people walk in the winter, and we had one of our last calls was to a lady whose dog had got stuck in the mud, and she went after the dog, and of course got stuck herself. The dog gets out, and he's all right, but she was stuck. So that's the sort of thing that happens very often.
And what about you, Roger? How did you get involved?
Well, I've been here nearly 10 years now, and I used to have a boat myself, and I had to sell it for various reasons, and thinking what I might do. And saw an advert in the paper saying they were looking for volunteers. So one dark, wet, cold January Wednesday evening, I came down here, and I've been here ever since, really. I'm the secretary as well, and I do most of the talks to local organisations.
So what, did you accidentally nip out of the room at the wrong time?
I did, really, yes. But, I mean, I'm passionate about it because I think it's so important that we must never lose another life like we did with little Elena.